Well, welcome to another sermon podcast from St. Susie Baptist Church. My name is Dan Walls and I'm the pastor at St. Susie Baptist Church. And it's our desire to see all people from all walks of life come to experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And we pray this message goes some way to blessing you here today, but also goes some way to achieving that in your life here today. Once again, we do pray that this message is a blessing to you. But I'm going to start this morning by talking a bit about an amazing race that took place back in the mid-20th century. I'm not sure if you remember this race. It was a race to the moon. Is anyone around when man first landed on the moon? I was not. Who remembers? Hands up high when that happened. The incredible news that man had landed on the moon. Well, many of you may remember that event back on the 16th of July 1969. Obviously, a momentous event. And again, the news that man had landed on the moon reverberated across the whole entire world. But you may not have remembered or may not realize or know about a previous mission that took place to the moon, three missions prior. When man landed on the moon, that was Apollo 11, Apollo 8. Does anyone remember what happened with Apollo 8? This was also a significant mission, and man did not land on the moon on this particular occasion. But three astronauts, Borman, Lovell, and Anders, they actually became the first men to leave Earth's gravitational pull. And they were also the first to orbit the moon and the first people ever to view Earth from space and to see the dark side of the moon. And this was also incredible, life-altering news that the world had ever received. But that's not all that happened on this trip. This trip actually became known more so because of the transmission that the astronauts sent out from the moon back on Christmas Eve 1968. We're going to listen to that transmission now, and Lance is going to play that for us.
Now approaching lunar sunrise, and for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
Pretty amazing, eh? That was the transmission from the moon's orbit back on Christmas Eve 1968. Again, these three men, once again, came to be the first men to see the moon or the earth in that way. And it would have been an incredible event. Can you imagine being one of those three men, those three astronauts, staring at the earth for the very first time, the first people to ever do so. The people of NASA and America were in a contest, as I said, with other nations to land on the moon. And when they received this information, when they realized what they had done, they must have thought all their Christmases had come at once. Does anyone still use that term? All your Christmases have come at once. It's still around. But that's the message of today's sermon, all our Christmases, because there's another event that happened at Christmas time that far outweighs this news. Do you know what that news is? No one knows. The coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into this world. An incredible event, a life-changing event. And I'm going to read the news that was given to the shepherds on the very first Christmas night here to us here today. It says, that night in a field there in Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God. And the shepherds, well, they were terrified. They freaked out. But the angel reassured them, saying, do not be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news of great joy, the best news that the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone everywhere. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Over the Advent season, we've been looking at what big news the coming of Jesus is. The God who created the cosmos, the creator of what we just saw, he wants a relationship with you and I. The creator of this world loves you and I so much that he would come into the world to die on a cross for the sins of mankind, ultimately that we might have or come to have a relationship with him. But when someone important shows up, like Jesus or your boss at work or whatever, it sort of brings us to ask that question, what brings you here? And so what we've been doing over the course of the Advent season is looking or answering that question, what brought Jesus to earth? What brought God incarnate to our existence in the first place? When the shepherds, when the glory of the Lord came and shone around the shepherds that very first Christmas morning or Christmas night, they didn't take it easy, did they? They freaked out. They were terrified, the text says. So that's what happens when the glory of the Lord comes into our existence. People freak out. But it doesn't answer the question, why did he come? What were the purposes? For what reason did Jesus come to earth? Well, we've been looking at three different reasons from the book of Exodus, which points to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three separate reasons why Jesus came. And within that, we see three great needs or longings that humanity have that God met in the reason for his coming. The first of those reasons that we've been looking at is that he came to what? Anyone that has been here remember? Ah, oh, it's on the screen. You've given the second one away, Lance. Go back to the first. Was that what's there? That's all right. He came to rescue us. His people, the nation of Israel, they were in trouble. And what we looked at in the book of Exodus, they were in slavery at the hands of the Egyptian Empire. And God, through Moses, he came and he asked of Pharaoh, can you let God's people go? But Pharaoh wasn't having any of it. He refused to let God's people go. And notice that God does not answer the nation of Israel's prayers straight away. There's a period of testing, of waiting. And I think in that waiting, he's trying to see if they are truly committed to him, that their faith and their dependence are upon the Lord God Almighty. He could have let them go there and then. God could have allowed that to happen, but he didn't. He would come eventually to rescue his people, and Pharaoh would eventually let them go. But notice that he doesn't answer their prayers or their longing straight away. And maybe that's happening in your life right now. There's something dramatic going on in your life that you thought you never would experience ever in your life. Maybe this is your first Christmas again with that health condition that you never thought that you would have. Maybe it's your first Christmas without that loved one. Maybe it's your first Christmas struggling to buy presents or you struggling to even afford presents for those that you love. And you've been praying and you've been longing and you've been praying, But yet there is still no sound. Still no answer from God to seemingly rescue you. Sometimes it feels like God isn't there at all. That he doesn't care. And it may feel as though the world around us is very dark. And that there's no sign of light anywhere. But let me tell you something that I've been reminded of this year is that God does his most awful, most incredible, most supreme work in the darkness. Did you realize that? Have a think about that clip we just watched from the astronauts back on around the orbit of the moon. What passage were they quoting or reading out? Genesis chapter 1. And notice in that passage that Boardman, Lovell, and Anders read out, it says, "The earth was without form, it was void, the darkness was upon the deep." Back at the dawn of time, darkness reigned supreme. And it may feel like in your life that darkness is reigning supreme right here, right now. But out of that darkness came the most glorious light, amen. The light of life for all mankind. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Light came out of the darkness. A.W. Tozer, a famous theologian, says, "Back there in the darkness, God was doing some wonderful, awful, terrible, glorious things, as much as to say, I don't even want the angels, seraphim or archangels, to see what I'm doing." And even when God incarnated his Son, bringing him into the world as a man, he did not send him down out of heaven shining like a meteor and to startle the world. He formed him in the sweet darkness of the virgin's womb, unseen by mortal eye. Have a think about what was going through Mary and Joseph's minds and hearts that very first Christmas night. I bet that they were experiencing a darkness like no other. Traveling home to where they had to go for the census back to Bethlehem. No room anywhere to have this baby who was imminently about to be born. Nowhere, anywhere was anyone going to let them in that night. They found themselves in a barn, a stable. And I guarantee you their prayer would be, "Not here, God. Not now." But did God answer their prayers that very first Christmas night? No, he did not. But that does not mean that God was not at work in their lives and the lives of everyone in the whole entire world that very first Christmas night. For out of the darkness came this incredible light, a brilliant light, the light of Christ who had come to rescue us, to redeem us, to restore us. And this is one of the big reasons why Jesus came to rescue us from our sin, our oppression, our mistakes, our fallenness. He came to rescue us of all that, to restore us of all that. And maybe you are struggling with something here today that you just cannot get over. Addiction, anxiety, depression, a particular sin in your life. Let me tell you, God's heart is to rescue you and redeem you from that. He did in my life. Back in my late teens, early 20s, I really struggled with something in my life, a sin that I was addicted to. And no matter how hard I tried to overcome it, I kept going back to it time and time again. My life back when I was 21 was pretty dark. But by the grace of God, by the power and the supremacy of God, he has rescued me from that addiction, brought me out of darkness into his glorious light. And the beautiful thing about my faith is that I believe that he died on the cross so that I would not have to be condemned because of what I've done. And the same is true for each and every one of us, amen? That no matter what you've done, no matter what mistake you've made, no matter what sin you've committed, Jesus came to rescue you and I, to restore us, to redeem us. He came to rescue all of us, and the way in which he did that was by paying our ransom on the cross. So again, do you need rescuing today? Do you need God to intervene? Do you need Him to help you overcome some sort of addiction or rescue you from anxiety, depression? Is there anything in your life that you feel you need rescuing from here today? Well, although our current circumstances may feel dark and that they couldn't get any darker, again, God does His most creative work in the dark. Amen. Jesus Himself said that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Praise God, amen. That's the reality of the God that we serve. We need the light in the biggest possible sense because, again, Scripture says whether you know it or not, or whether you believe it or not, all have sinned. And so we fall short of the glory of God, which means nothing unholy can come into the presence of a holy, majestic, supreme God. That is why He came. And the story of Israel's exodus from Egypt again points to that reality that we are exiled because of our sin. We have been removed from the beautiful, holy presence of our God. The only way to get back to Him is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has paved the way for all of humanity to come back into relationship with God again. And having rescued His people out of slavery, again, which points to the slavery of our sin, God didn't say to His people that, off you go, you're free to go, enjoy your life. No. He says, I want to make covenant with you. Jesus came to rescue us, and He came to make covenant with us as well. A covenant meaning a long-lasting relationship between two willing parties. He wanted to bound His people together, bound them to Him as His treasured possession. I'm sure you agree that out of all the deepest human needs of humanity, this need to be free is one of those needs that we need to have met. Amen. We have this desire, one of our deepest human needs is to be free. And so that is why it's so wonderful that He rescued us. But an equally deeper need that we have, I believe, is to belong. Amen. We have a desire to be free. We also have a desire to belong somewhere. There's this yearning for belonging. And I find one of the greatest issues in our society today, because we are so individualistic, is that we've created this wedge between not only God, but each other. There's this yearning for security and safety that in turn we've cut other people out of our lives. And so we just don't do community well. You go to other nations that don't have as much as us. We had the opportunity to go to Fiji not long ago, or even to places like Africa, and you see the community that these people have. It's something that we've lost, and we need to recapture it, amen? We have a yearning for belonging. Jesus came to show us what it means to belong. And He showed us that by modeling acceptance, belonging, and showed us, again, how we can help others belong to Him. He says in John 10, 27, 30, "My sheep listen to My voice. I know them and they follow Me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of My Father's hand, and I and the Father are one." Is there no more of a radical statement than that? I and the Father are one. He is likening Himself to God. He is saying, I am God. This man that walked our earth, walked into our neighborhood, took up residence in our world, He says, I am God. I am the creator of this world. Jesus showed us, revealed to us, and taught us how good it can be, how perfectly incredible it can be to know God as a friend and as a father, but also know that God has us. And this is one of the images that we see woven throughout Scripture, this image of a shepherd looking after and protecting his sheep. Back then, did you realize that shepherds would go to any means possible to protect their sheep, to look after their sheep? King David was one of the kings of Israel. Before he became king, he was a shepherd. And Scripture tells us that he would fight off bears and lions to protect his sheep. This is a reflection of the God we serve, amen? But no matter what we are going through in life, his desire for you and I is to protect us, to watch out for us, to be there for us. One of the most incredible stories, the most famous stories of all time, is the story of the lost son in the Bible who's welcomed home, given complete belonging. Again, this is the God that we serve, that he wants to protect us. He wants to look after us, but also give us a place in his family. Adopted as sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. Hello, Jacob. Again, this is the God that we serve. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, he is there with open arms, willing and ready to accept us, no matter what we've done. We've looked at is to dwell with us in order to give us a sense of companionship. And again, we saw this in Exodus, that God not only rescues his people dramatically, he doesn't covenant with them only his people passionately, but he also wants to dwell with his people. We looked at this yesterday. He rescues, he marries his people, and then he moves in. You know, after I got married to my wife, Kelly, we moved in together, and I shared yesterday what a joyous occasion that was, how fun it was. She probably doesn't feel the same way now after almost 10 years of marriage. But I tell you what, our marriage wouldn't have lasted long if we just went on and then lived our separate lives. Yes, we lived in the same place, but we just did life separately, not talking, not communicating with one another. Our marriage wouldn't have lasted very long, amen? Now, getting married means more than that. It means doing life together. Sharing one another's life with the other, investing in one another's life, ultimately loving one another. That is what God desires of us, amen? That when we come into relationship with him, that we would open our lives with him, or to him, that we would do life with him, love him ultimately with all that we are and all that we have. And that is what we see in Jesus when he walked this earth, amen? He loved people radically, even those who no one else wanted to love. But not only that, but his radical love would ultimately send him to the cross. And he didn't have to do that for us. There's no moral code in the Godhead that says, we need to do this. No. Jesus came into existence purely because he loves you and I. His love propelled him to do that. And he didn't do it with gritted teeth, like, oh, I hate this. No, he didn't. He did it joyfully. He did it enthusiastically. That's what his love meant. That's what we mean to him. A.W. Tozer said again, if God was willing, it was the happy willingness of God. The carol that we always sing, we don't sing this part. It's a bit old school, but O come all ye faithful, which we said earlier, he abhorred not the virgin's womb, meaning that it did not meaning that it did not matter to him. He loved it. Why? Because he loves us. Did it make it easy for him? Of course not. Apologies for my kids. It's Christmas morning. They haven't that much sleep. Pray for us today, please. God loves you and I. That's what sent him to this earth. That's what sent him to the cross. And Hebrews 1-2 says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But our faith says he didn't stay in the ground, amen? Because again, out of the darkness came this glorious light. The light of the resurrection. The light that would conquer darkness for all eternity. For all time. The light that would ultimately overcome sin forever. And even when he returned to the Father, he had to do so because he had to give us the gift of his Holy Spirit so that you and I, when we accept Christ into our life, we can become little Jesuses, being his hands and feet in this world, allowing ourselves to be partners with him in restoring, redeeming this world, giving people foretastes of the kingdom, this glorious kingdom that each and every one of us will experience one day, those who have accepted Christ into their lives. He had to go back, but even when he did go back, what did he promise us? The very last passage in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "And surely, surely I will always be with you to the very end of the age." Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus came to make covenant with us. Jesus came to dwell with us. And he wants you and I to open our hearts to him every second of every day, to do life with him, to be his hands and feet in this world. This is the incredible news of Christmas, amen? So much more incredible than man has able to get into moon's orbit or land on the moon in the first place. This is truly what Christmas is all about. This is great news, incredible news. And if you and I receive this into our lives, we get to receive all of it. Or to put it another way, all of our Christmases have come at once. Amen. My prayer for each of us today is that this is our reality, that this is our experience, and that you'd have a blessed Christmas knowing the reason for which Jesus ultimately came. Can I pray for us as our band comes back up to lead us in one last carol before we finish our time together this morning? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love, this love that propelled us or propelled you to come to earth for us, to rescue us, to make covenant with us, and ultimately to dwell with us so that we may know who the God of the creator of this world truly is. So thank you, Lord, again for that reality. And I pray for each and every one of us today as we go about our days, as we celebrate Christmas. Yes, may we enjoy the presents, the time with family, the great food. But ultimately, may we remember the reason for the season, and that is Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us as we just reflect on Dan's message this morning and the beautiful name that is Jesus Christ, the gift of our salvation this morning, Lord. Everyone, please stand.